Thank you, Justin and Kara. It's great. What a wonderful God. Amen? Yes. And thank you, Pastor Hubert, for sharing us that faith-building story tonight of God's provision. And we want you to come in a few minutes for whatever kind of prayer you want. His provision for healing, provision for finance, his provision for relationships, whatever we need, whatever mountains before us that is immovable, we want to trust God. So that was a great, great story. There was for Father's Day weekend, there was a family that visited us whose son, adult son, attends the church, and his dad, his first time he had been here. And we saw him get up on the platform this morning to speak or to lead in prayer or whatever it was. He leaned over his son who attends here and said, "Is that the seniors, Pastor?" And he said, "No, Dad, that's the senior pastor." So I guess you've got some competition here, Brother Hubert. I might be after your job here pretty soon. But we love the way you serve us and build faith and pray for so many people yourself. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. And I believe these verses will be on the screen as well. I'd like to walk through the seven scripture passages in the book of Acts that we've been meditating on this week just to build faith. I'm not going to preach a sermon on every passage. We're just going to walk through it, a few comments, but just to allow God's word to get into our hearts. On the prayer sheet that maybe you've been carrying around in your Bible this week, it says faith-building scriptures for meditation and prayer. I believe faith does gestate and grow and nurture in our hearts through the word of God. And in these particular scriptures, we are focusing on two of the four aspects of Jesus' ministry we elevate. We know Jesus is our Savior. We know he's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He's the healer, and he's the what? The soon coming King. He's a coming King. Those four things of Jesus' life and ministry we elevate. And these verses focus on the second and third of those. Jesus as the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Jesus as the healer. So we began last Monday with Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. We referred to these scriptures last Sunday night as we took time around this altar to pray for anyone who wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was just like the power of God came down last Sunday night. And I would say it was largely teenagers and young adults, but I would say two-thirds at least were filled with the Holy Spirit last Sunday night. I want to tell you, this is real. The wind, the breath of God blowing into our lives, giving us something greater inside than anything that would either allure or defeat us outside. God wants his power and spirit to dwell in us. Maybe you just want to come tonight. It's okay just to say, you know, I feel fine physically and I don't feel any great hurdle in my life I can't get over. I mean, I'm not oppressed with some immovable problem, but I'm just hungry for God. Regularly, I make a point to ask people to lay hands on me and pray for me. I can be just filled with the Holy Spirit. You are welcome to do that. This and the day of Pentecost, we believe, was not a one-time, only to get the church launched event. We believe this has been the fuel of the ongoing work of the church and of people who follow Christ. Then the next day, we went to the next chapter, Acts chapter 3. Verses 15 and 16, Peter and John going to the place of prayer at 3 in the afternoon had seen this lame man at the gate beautiful. He was a customary sight there. He was lame. He didn't have anything else to do but day after day, month after month, year after year, beg, make his living that way. And this is where Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I you." And he was healed. Caused quite a stir, and it got Peter and John in trouble with the officials. And so Peter begins to give a defense for what happens. He had courage in this moment. In verse 15 of Acts 3, he said, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead." That's the triumph of Jesus. You killed him, but God raised him. And we are witnesses of this. And then he says, "By faith in the name of Jesus, This man who you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Peter was more than just being humble, saying, well, you know, I know I'm pretty spiritual, and yeah, it was pretty good. I got to pray for him. This was more than deflecting attention from himself. This was the authentic bottom line truth. I want to tell you, Jesus will heal tonight, not because of a particular emotion you may feel, not because of who may or may not be praying for you, but here is the prescription for healing. It is Jesus' name and faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him. Our eyes are on the name of Jesus. His name has all authority in heaven and earth. Let's pray in the name of Jesus with confidence. Let's have our eyes only on Jesus. For Peter is so right and he's so clear. It's Jesus' name and faith in his name that has made this man whole. Hallelujah. And then Wednesday we looked at Acts 4 and verse 30. This is after Peter and John had really gotten in some trouble and been threatened that if they preached any more, they would be facing severe consequences. They, of course, said it's better to obey God than man. Of course, we obey God. And they came back, and so the church. This was the first time the tide of public opinion had really begun to turn against the church. And the church had a great prayer meeting where they focused on God's sovereignty and God's strength. And the last of their prayer meeting was this. In spite of all the threats, they said in verse 30, "So Lord, stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." That lame man in the previous chapter got healed, and other healings were beginning to happen. It was just causing actually the disciples a lot of threats against them, and the church a threat, and the church being threatened. And they just prayed, Lord, give us a backbone. And don't hold back. They said, Jesus, even more over the city of Jerusalem, would you stretch out your hand and would you do miracles right in the face of our critics? They're trying to stop you, but you rose from the dead. And Lord, will you stretch out your hand and heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus? Lord, do that in Springfield tonight. Lord, in our city, would you begin to bring the signs and the wonders that bear witness to you? Let James River experience them. Let Second Baptist experience them. Let North Point Assembly experience them. Let Central Assembly experience them. Lord, all over our city, stretch out your hand that signs and wonders will be done. When we pray for healing tonight, in a sense, we're planting those seeds of faith in our city and saying, God, what happens at this altar? Let it happen across our city because people need you. And that would be especially bold prayer if you knew that if God was to answer that in Springfield, you might get locked up in prison. But you said, we don't care, Jesus. Just give this city a shaking of your supernatural power. Well, Jesus did shake something up. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I used to think we preachers, you know, we love to fill places and shake up people. But apparently God likes to shake places and fill people. He shakes the places of darkness and bondage and restriction. And he fills his people with the Holy Spirit. Some of us pastors need to get that right again. Hallelujah. Shake the place, O God. Shake the place of our unbelief and doubt. Shake the place of immovable mountains. God can send earthquakes to immovable mountains and they move. And fill us with your Spirit. For these people will be refilled with their Spirit. And they spoke the word of God boldly. On Thursday, we looked at Acts 5:15. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets as a result of the ongoing ministry of the church. As a result, people brought sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats. And this is so remarkable. So that at least Peter's shadow might fall on them as they passed by. And crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem. Can you imagine when something like that happens? The sheer manifest power of God. The people were literally being healed even if Peter's shadow touched them. That is the absolute release of the power of God that can do the impossible. Well, you can imagine word would spread. You didn't need CNN or Fox News for a word like this to spread. And all the towns and villages around, people started streaming into the city of Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits. And all of them were healed. A few weeks ago, reading prayerfully through Acts, that really struck me, that verse, the end of the verse. The word all of them were healed. Usually you see this with Jesus. They came and he healed them all. But here in the ministry of the church, could you imagine a moment like that where everybody is healed? So great was the release of faith and the power of God. Oh, Lord, wouldn't that be okay that they all be healed? We sometimes look at services like this like a spiritual lottery. You know, maybe if we pray for enough people, odds are one or two will be healed. But my faith, God, I feel like God's saying, no, I want to release something beyond just one or two occasionally. I believe we could see the day where God, maybe Tom's leading worship, maybe I'm just finishing a sermon or something, and all of a sudden the power of God falls and everybody is healed. It happened in the book of Acts. Why can't it happen again? Same spirit, same healer. And then on Friday, sorry, that was Friday the 13th, but we defy Friday the 13th with this wonderful faith-building scripture, Acts 8:5. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. And when the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were what? Healed. So there was great joy in that city. Well, I guess so. What an invasion of the power of God into another city. This time not Jerusalem, but this time a city where there's a lot of racial prejudice on the part of the Jews towards them, a city in Samaria. And yet the power of God, who knows no respecter of people, the power of God came. I believe when the Spirit of God starts moving, he's not just going to fall in Assemblies of God churches. He's going to fall in every place that's open to the grace of Jesus coming. Oh God, do it in the whole body of Christ. And then Saturday, yesterday, verse 32 of Acts 9. As Peter traveled around the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydda. And there he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for how many years? 8 years. 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Notice sometimes they didn't even pray over them. They just pronounced the healing power and authority of Christ. That's what Peter was talking about back in Acts 3. It's by the name of Jesus and faith in that name that this man has been healed. So Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your man. And immediately, I love that word immediately, immediately Aeneas got up. And those who lived in Lydda and Sharon, the region around that, saw him and turned to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So many times signs and wonders are associated with evangelism. I believe the more we want to reach the lost, the more open and willing the Spirit of God is to pour in his healing power. And then today, our scripture of meditation, Acts 19, verse 11. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. This is while he was in Ephesus for a period of, I believe, about 2 years. He's not near Jerusalem. He's in a Greek city. He's in a place where the Church of Jesus Christ is just being planted for the first time. He's in the city where one of the seven wonders of the world, ancient world, was, the great temple to Diana, the city that people came to from all over the world to worship. He came into a city that was extremely eclectic spiritually. Ephesus was like a spiritual zoo, every kind of god and belief and superstition. And yet Jesus began to build his church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And it's in this time, ironically, in the middle of this spiritual zoo of darkness, in the middle of the very citadel of the spirit of the world and of hell, it says that Paul began to just come under a kind of anointing in which he did just absolutely, and the text says, extraordinary miracles. Not minor miracles, if there is such a thing. Extraordinary miracles. So that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick. And their illnesses were cured. and the evil spirits left them. Don't think she's here tonight, but what a wonderful experience last May when Sandy and I were asked to speak for the regional, every 3-year regional retreat for all the Assemblies of God missionaries in Europe. We're leaving tomorrow to do the same kind of retreat for all the Assemblies of God missionaries in Eurasia, but this was Europe last year. And Sandy, Greg Mundus from our congregation is the regional director for those 400 or 500 missionaries. And we were having a powerful time together. Actually, the Spirit of God was really moving. And unfortunately, as soon as the conference started, Sandy Mundus took very sick because she'd been having trouble with her heart. And so they had to take her into the hospital in Barcelona, about an hour and a half drive from our conference center. And she was there the whole time of the conference. On Friday night, we just felt we needed to have a prayer meeting. I ended up having to change my sermon that night, everything, because the Spirit of God just came in. We took someone sort of ripped off, I believe they returned it, but someone just sort of stole one of the cloth napkins from the dining hall. I remember it was red. And there were almost 500 adults in this room. We began to worship the Lord, and then we began to pray. And someone anointed it with oil. And then as we interceded and prayed for a very extended time, they passed this napkin for people to lay hands. Like it says, handkerchiefs and aprons that he touched were taken to the sick. And they just, through the whole evening, row by row, they just passed that handkerchief or that napkin, cloth napkin, up and down. Every missionary laid their hands on it for a few minutes, prayed in the Spirit, and passed it to the next person. They laid their hands on it, prayed in the Spirit, all the way, 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 way to the back of that auditorium, every row, every person. Then the next day, they took it. That was Friday night. We saw a mighty move of God that night. And the next day, they took it. And they placed it on her body in the hospital in Barcelona. And the healing power of Jesus. I just had lunch just a couple of days ago. And with her husband. And we were just, they were just talking about how that, Greg was telling me how that Sandy, you know, just had such a turnaround in her physical condition. The doctors were saying, we're absolutely sure this was your heart, within 1% that this was your heart and all of that. And they ran her through the tests after putting the thing on her. And you know what? They couldn't find a thing. And she's been recovering ever since. Hallelujah. You know, I just believe that this can happen. This is not superstition. We're not selling snake oil here. You know, we're not going to anoint your apron for $5 each. We're not into that. But we do believe in the tangible power of the Holy Spirit. And if you have someone at home who's sick and not able to come, or a friend that's not here, and you want to bring a handkerchief or a napkin or something up here, or even take a Kleenex out of the box, and we'll lay hands on that Kleenex, and you take that Kleenex, as long as you promise to go back, lay it in their hand, and then pray the prayer of faith with them. And let's see what happens. Amen? Amen. Will you stand with me? Hallelujah. Just lift praise to him right now. In just a moment, I'm going to invite all the prayer workers, if you'll come forward, please. And let's just lift praise to him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you what can happen when we agree together, Lord. Thank you for the grace of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.